Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Jai Radha Madhava,
कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लव गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लव गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तेरा बनचारी यमुना तेरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव श्री राधे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ श्री राधे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर श्री राधे जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय गौरनीताय 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 जय गौरनीताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद नीताय गो हरि वो हरि वो हरि वो गो हरि वो नीताय गो सिद्धनाथ प्रेमानंदे
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're beginning chapter 36 of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, text 1. First, there's a summary of the chapter. This chapter describes how Krishna killed Aristasura and how Krishna learned from Narada that Krishna and Balaram were the sons of Vasudev. The demon Arista wanted to kill Krishna and Balaram, and thus he assumed the form of a huge bull with sharp horns. Everyone in Krishna's cowherd village became terrified when Aristasura approached it. But the Lord pacified them, and when the bull demon charged him, he seized him by the horns and threw him about 6 yards. Though weakened, Arista still wanted to attack Krishna. Thus, dripping with sweat, he charged the Lord once again. This time Krishna grabbed his horns, threw him to the ground, and thrashed him like a pile of wet clothing. The demon vomited blood and gave up his life. Then Krishna and Ram, while being honored by the demigods and cowherd boys, returned to the village. A short time later, Narada Muni, the great sage among the demigods, came to see King Kamsa. He informed the king that Krishna and Balaram were not Nanda's sons, but rather Vasudev's. It was out of fear of Kamsa that Vasudev had put the two boys under Nanda's care. Furthermore, said Narada, Kamsa would meet his death at their hands. Kamsa shook with fear and anger when he heard all this, and in great agitation, he began thinking of how to destroy Krishna and Balaram. He called for the demons Chanura and Mashtika and instructed them to kill the two brothers in a wrestling match. Then he spoke to Akrura, who was expert at executing his duties. Taking Akrura by the hand, Kamsa persuaded him to go to Braja to bring the two boys to Mathura. Akrura agreed to carry out Kamsa's order and then returned home. Now we'll read text one. Shibadarayanir uvacha Atatarya gato goshtam Aristo vrishabhasa sura Mahi maha kakutkaya Kampayan kura vikshatam Shibadarayanair uvacha Atha tarya gato gostam Aristo vrishabhasa sura Mahi maha kakutkaya Kampayan kura vikshatam Shibadarayanir uvacha Atatarya agatos kostam Aristo vrishabhasuraha Mahima kakutkaya Kampayan kura vikshatam Matijis? Shivadarayanai uvacha Shri Sukadev Goswami said Atha next Tarihi then Agataha came Goshtam to the cowherd village Aristaha named Arista Vrishabha Asuraha, the bull demon, Mahim, the earth. Maha, great. Kakut, having a hump. Kayaha, whose body. Kampayan, making tremble. Kura, by his hooves. Vikshatam, torn. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, the demon Arishta then came to the cowherd village, appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump. He made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hooves. Purport. According to the Sri Vishnu Purana, Arishtasura entered Krishna's village at twilight, as the Lord prepared to dance with the gopis. Pradosh ardhe kadachitu rasa sakte janardane trasayan samado goshtam arishta samupagataha. Once, midway through the period of dusk, when Lord Janardhan was eager to perform the rasa dance, Arishtasura madly entered the cowherd village, terrifying everyone. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapita Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadante Kam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya De Satarine. We can repeat the sloka together. Sukadev Goswami said, the demon Arishta appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump. He made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hooves. So we're continuing. Sri Krishna is still in his Brajalila. According to Jiva Goswami, when this pastime took place, he was in his 11th year. He was 10 years, 7 months, and 21 days old. Now, in the previous action chapter, which was of Sankachura, Krishna was only 8.5 years old. There were other pastimes that happened within those 2 years, but Sukadeva Goswami, because of his extreme ecstasy in describing the pastimes of the Lord, he explained these pastimes a bit out of chronological order. And then Jiva Goswami, according to the different Puranas that gave more details, just as here, the Goswamis, the Acharyas are quoting the Sri Vishnu Purana, more detail is given for each of these pastimes. Sukadeva Goswami was speaking as much as he could in the time that he had. So, according to Rupa Goswami, this was not the first time that Arishtasura came to Braja. When Krishna was just a little boy, we know that the first demoness that he sent was Putana. And Putana was especially expert at killing little girls. She would grab the little babies, fly up in the sky, way over Govardhan Hill or any mountains, and drop them down, and they would die there, smashed on the rocks. That was her expertise. She also liked to eat the little babies as well. But when she came to Braj to do her work, she met one divine little boy who we know is Krishna, And he killed her. And she was screaming in all directions. And when this report came back to Kamsa, it shriveled his heart with fear. Who is this divine boy who was protecting all the little girls in his village? He said, "This boy is my misfortune and the little girl's fortune." So, like any good diplomat, he decided to send some spies. He called from his ministry. At that time it was full. Only one woman had died. He had a lot of ministers there. They were all going to die. Krishna was one by one having them sent. So he called them and he assigned Keshi and Arishta. He said, "I want you to go to this village of Gokul and find out who this divine boy is and why he's protecting the little girls." So they, whether they were in disguise, they had to be. These forms that they take as horses and bulls and cranes and asses, this is because of their superior mystic powers. It's not that they always maintain those forms. So they came, and they were able to understand, to some degree, that Radha and Krishna were having beautiful, loving pastimes here. And that was why Krishna particularly wanted to protect the young girls. So they came back and reported that to Kamsa. Keshi spoke first. He said, "Of all the young girls Krishna is protecting, there's one especially beautiful girl named Radha. And I think that you should go and capture the whole village and take this Radha for yourself. She's so beautiful." Immediately, Kamsa decided he would invade the village, conquer the village, and take Radha. Then Arista, he was thinking, there's another way to do it. You don't need to invade and conquer the whole village just for one little girl. You just send one person, they kidnap the little girl, they bring them back to you, and you marry her. It's that simple. You don't need all that bloodshed. So that was when Kamsa decided he assigned Shankachura. And that was when Shankachura came. The rasa dance, Krishna had just initiated the rasa dance. He was little more than 8 years old, 8 years, 1.5 months, when he blew his flute and the maharas occurred. So when Shankachura came, he was 8.5 years old. Little bit after that. So Krishna was already enjoying regularly, and we've heard about the pastime how Shankachura, he attempted to kidnap, but Krishna protected the young girls again. And not only that, he lost the jewel. It was given to Radha eventually. So now we have a continuation. Now, Kamsa, so many demons in this time of 8.5 years old to 10 years old that are mentioned in different places had been killed. His ministry was practically empty. He decided, now I should send Aristasura. Now who was this Aristasura? Because Kamsa, we know Mathura is not a big kingdom. It's a little place compared to Hastinapur and many of the other big kingdoms in Bharatvarsha. But Kamsa, he was very powerful. And what he did was he made campaigns all over the area. And he would challenge the most powerful person in each area. And he would defeat them. And when he defeated them, he would not kill them, but he would use them as one of his ministers. So he was traveling once in eastern Bengal. Many of the demons came from Assam. If you go to Guwahati, that was the capital of Narakasura, where he kept all of the women. And in East Bengal, which is now Bangladesh, there was a very powerful bull named Arista. How did he come there? Well, that we have to look further. We know that the whole basis of spiritual life, if one wants to make advancement, we sing every morning that the only way to make spiritual advancement is by pleasing the spiritual master. And fortunately, we are under the care, under the guidance of the Supreme Spiritual Master, Srila Prabhupada, in the line of disciplic succession. So we are safe because we have the best guidance. But we also have a responsibility when we take shelter of a spiritual master. We have to become ideal disciples. So there are many spiritual masters that one can take shelter of. And in the heavenly planets, the spiritual master is Brihaspati. We heard in the sixth canto, when Indra became too puffed up with his material opulences, Brihaspati, he was wondering. He came to the home of his disciple Indra. He entered the assembly. Indra was being worshipped by all the demigods, the sub-demigods, everyone. And he was sitting on a throne with his wife, and he saw his spiritual master, Brihaspati, but he didn't offer any respect to him because he was being honored so grandly by all of the inhabitants of the heavenly planets. So Brihaspati, knowing well the principles of religion, he didn't even bother to curse his disciple because he knew what was going to happen to the disciple by not honoring, giving the proper respect to the guru. So he quietly left the assembly and actually disappeared after that. Now, Brihaspati, though all of the demigods were his disciples, he had one other disciple. His name was Varatantu. Vara means great and Tantu means line. He was very close to Brihaspati. He would sit with him, learn from him. One day, possibly out of negligence, possibly out of fatigue, sometimes we forget the proper etiquette when we're directly with the spiritual master. He sat down in front of Brihaspati and he stretched his legs out straight as if he were very tired. And his feet were pointing to Brihaspati. Now this is a well-known Rupa Goswami. He gives us all the 64 offenses, seva aparadhas, to be avoided. We never point our feet to the deity, to the spiritual master. We always keep our feet close so no one sees them. So when Brihaspati saw that his disciple, who was well-trained but had committed an offense, he said, "You're sitting just like a bull." So he cursed him. He said, "You become a bull." And by the curse of the spiritual master, for the benefit of the disciple, Varatantu became a bull. And he took birth in East Bengal. And in some places it says by the association of other demoniac bulls. In other places it says because he was so powerful, when Kamsa came to challenge him, by the association of Kamsa, he became demoniac by nature. Now, a bull, we know from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the bull is the representative of Dharma. Why is that? The cow is our mother. She nourishes us. She gives us milk. And the bull is our father, because by his hard labor, the grains are produced through agriculture. So the father, that's the bull. Now here we have someone in a demoniac mentality who has taken the form of a bull. He's forgotten his past life, now he's in a bull form. So when Aristasura was sent, he assumed a gigantic bull form. He was able to do that. And it says here, find a sloka again, just a minute. Yes. There's a word here, kakut. That's the hump on the back of the bull. Now, kakut, there's another name we'll hear about later today, kakutmir. Kakutmir was the father of Revati. He was the king of Raivata, which was a huge mountain. So Kakut, as the king's name implied, he was just like a great mountain. He ruled this great mountain of Raivata. So Arista, his hump was just like a huge mountain that stretched to the sky. That's how big he was. And the clouds, you'll see if you go to the high mountains, the clouds only go to a certain level, and then they don't go any further. So the clouds hover around the mountains. So the clouds, they were hovering around the hump of Arista. Arista, when he entered this village, now this time he was being sent not as a spy. He was being sent to kill Krishna and Balaram, as mentioned here. He was so frightening, as if a huge catastrophe or calamity had just entered the peaceful village of Braja. And everyone became terrified. Now, there are two types of fear. And Rupa Goswami, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he analyzes this type of fear. It's called a Vyabhichari Bhava, Sanchari Bhava, because very scientifically, Rupa Goswami has explained to us all the different symptoms of ecstatic love. So when all of the inhabitants, particularly the gopis, because their fear and their love was tantamount. He calls this, it's an English class, but there are a few Sanskrit terms that will help us understand this pastime better. He says that this is the example of Rati Anusparsha Svatantra Sanchari Bhav. Now, how many of us know what that means? None of us know what it means unless someone tells us. First of all, Rati. He's speaking about the gopis in this particular pastime. He says the gopis were always absorbed in love for Krishna. It didn't matter what the situation was. But that Rati, right now, was being eclipsed by their fear when they saw this huge bull coming to attack them. Now, what were they afraid of? They were afraid for their own lives. So therefore, it was a svatantra fear, svatantra trasa, because it was independent of their love for Krishna. They were worried about themselves, that this big bull is going to come and attack us. But in between is anusparsha. Because they were afraid independently for themselves, because the touch of their rati caused them to call out for Krishna for protection, therefore this trasa or fear is considered to be a sanchari bhav or a symptom of ecstatic love. So normally, like Mother Yasoda, she was always fearful for Krishna's protection. Oh no, some wild animal may come, some horned animal may come, some snake may come, he might fall. She was always worried about Krishna. That's called paratantra, because her fear was to protect Krishna. But in this case, when Aristasura arrived in the village of Braja, it was svatantra. Everyone was worried when they saw this ferocious bull coming to attack them. But because of their love, that love touched their fear and caused them all to call out for Krishna. Jiva Goswami says that even the cows called the name Krishna. He also says that the cows would address each other, like Sarabi and her descendants. They addressed each other. They were able to speak. So even the cows were calling for Krishna. Now, what time of the day is it? It's evening time. Evening time, in English, is called dusk, it's called twilight, there are all different names for it. It's a specific time of the day. We also know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this dusk or twilight time is when the demons roam. This is when Lord Shiva, he's looking for a place to place the demons. And he's wandering with all of his demoniac followers. It's when the sun has gone down. And it's beginning to get dark, but it hasn't become fully nightfall. It's not pitch black yet. So there's a darkness. At the same time, there's still a bit of light. Now, Krishna had come home from herding the cows. He was in his home. He was waiting for the night to fall so he could secretly leave his home and take part in his usual nighttime activities of dancing with the gopis. He was looking forward to that. But then all of a sudden, there's this huge hue and cry from all the inhabitants of Braja. Krishna, Krishna, save us! This big bull has come! So what can Krishna do? He has to run out. He has to see the bull. He sees even the cowherd men are running away from the bull. The cowherd men are supposed to, they're supposed to control the bulls. He called them cowards in the Vishnu Sahasranam. He said, you cowards, why are you running away? It's a bull. So they all ran away. They were hiding. You see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis were hiding behind the trees. Everyone was trying to hide from this big bull. Krishna was all alone. So he faces the demon. I won't tell too much of the story because we have 15 slokas of this pastime. He faces the demon and eventually he kills him. Now when this demon dies, normally when Krishna kills a demon, he's either liberated, he enters into the Brahman, the Brahmajyoti, or he returns to Vaikuntha Loka or even the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. In this case, because Brihaspati had cursed his disciple to teach him a lesson, he didn't return to either of those places. He returned to the heavenly planets to serve his spiritual master again. Now, this is a very important lesson for us, because I don't want to tell too much of the story all at once. I want to give the other speakers a chance to elaborate on each verse. But this particular incident is very important for us. Sometimes the spiritual master does punish. We have example, at least in my life I have example, of being punished by Prabhupada. He called me in one day. He said he's having pain in his teeth. And I have to make everything very, very soft that I cook. And anyone who came close to Prabhupada knows that everything was so efficient in your time. You had to do everything exactly according to time, everything on time. Otherwise, it disturbed Prabhupada's schedule. So Prabhupada gave me an order. I had to go. I had to cook everything very soft that day. I did everything exactly on time as I would do every day. But there was one 5-minute gap. I'd have to leave the kitchen, go get the chula to make the chapatis. Without knowing it, someone came in the kitchen, and 45 minutes you have to put on Prabhupada's cooker, and everything's cooked. Turn it off 45 minutes, you have 10 minutes to make the chapatis, get the plate made, everything. It's all exact. Someone came in the kitchen and turned off the cooker. I had no idea. So when it was time to turn off the cooker and make the plate, nothing was cooked. And I had to run in. I said, Prabhupada, nothing. I don't know what happened. Well, another 45 minutes, and by the time I brought in the plate, it was so late. Prabhupada's whole schedule was disturbed, and I was in trouble. Prabhupada, he punished me. For 2 days, don't cook. What could be worse than taking your service away by the spiritual master? So then I learned, all right, no more shula. I'm just going to cook. You know, I don't care what anybody says. I'm not going to leave this kitchen ever again. Right? So we learn our lessons by the punishment of the spiritual master because it causes them inconvenience when the disciple is not behaving and doing their service properly. So that is a lesson for us when we hear about why Varadhantu was cursed by his spiritual master. Not out of anger, out of love for the spirit, for the disciple, the spiritual master corrects his disciple. We have to pray for that. Because when the spiritual master really cares for the disciple, he doesn't praise him. He chastises him. So that is behind the scenes story. Now, this Aristasura, there are many, many great acharyas who explain why he took the form of a bull. We explain that Dharma is, he takes the form of a bull, and now we have a demon in the form of a bull. So this is the form of Dharma with a Dharma. Now Prabhupada explains that there are five different types of adharma. First of all, there are two types of people who are irreligious. They're the hypocrites and they're the fools. And another name for those two are the cheaters and the cheated. And Prabhupada will speak about the cheaters and the cheated throughout his classes, throughout his purports. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the Bhakti Lok and other acharyas, they give a breakdown of all the different types of irreligion, of adharma. We can understand, hearing about these five different types, why Aristasura was so big, because he had to accommodate all of the different types of irreligion to come and attack the Supreme Lord personally. So the first type of irreligion is called Vidharma. Vidharma means when there are, first of all, Dharma means it's immediately in the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the definition of Dharma is given. Dharma projita kaita vaktra paramo nirmacharanam satam. That in this Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by Badarayana Rishi, here we have Sri Badarayana Uvacha. Badarayana, who, he was the first to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. And while Sukadev Goswami was within the womb of his mother, he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to his son. When finally Krishna convinced Sukadev Goswami to come out of his mother's womb, he promised him, you won't be attacked by Maya. He came out, and he had already heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from his father. Therefore, in many places, there are about 40 places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Sukadeva Goswami is about to discuss the principles of Dharma, specifically in the sixth canto, when he's discussing the conversation between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas, and Yamaraj and the Yamadutas, the name given to Sukadev Goswami is Sri Badarayana Uvacha, because he learned the principles of religion through the Srimad Bhagavatam directly from his father. So this Vidharma, in the first sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, first line that we chant at the beginning of every single Bhagavatam class, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, we immediately establish that the Supreme Lord is Vasudev, and we offer our respectful obeisance to him. And then the first sloka, who is Vasudev? Who is the Supreme Lord? And then the second sloka, that this Dharma, it kicks out all the false religions, all the pretentious religions, and it establishes that Dharma which was originally established by the Supreme Lord himself. So that is Dharma, the principles of religion which have been established personally by the Supreme Lord. And Vidharma, means any principles of religion that have not been established by the Supreme Lord. And there's so many of them. There's so many names, isms and this and that, and new religions and new avatars and incarnations and temples and acharyas, and but they don't mention the Supreme Lord. So that is Vidharma, the first type of adharma. The second type is called Paradharma. Not para. Para means transcendental dharma. This is Paradharma. And that means it's below what real dharma is. And this is when the dharma is, it appears to be following the Vedas, like the Veda Vararatis. They're chanting the mantras, they're doing all the rituals, but they've forgotten all about Krishna, about the Supreme Lord. They're just following the rituals according to the Vedas. And that's why Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, he says you have to give up sarva dharma paricharya mame kamsa. This dharma that I'm teaching you is nistraigunya. It's above the three modes of nature. Because we don't worship Krishna for anything. Therefore, we don't worship the demigods. We don't have to offer huge sacrifices in order to get something, a son, a kingdom, a peace, whatever it is. We're simply interested in worshiping the Supreme Lord. So this Paradharma, although it appears to be according to what the Supreme Lord teaches in the Vedas, it's below it. The next one is called Dharma Abhas. So just like here, the dusk has come in the evening. In the morning, we've all heard of Namabhas. In the morning, before the sun rises, there's Abhas. That's the dawn. The light is coming more and more and more, but the sun hasn't risen yet. So this Dharma Abhas is when people, they have some glimpse of what Dharma is. They might be performing meditation. They might be coming to the temple to see the Lord, but they don't quite understand yet. Why are they doing all these things? They might even profess very high moral principles, ahimsa, vegetarianism, meditation, but they don't yet understand. The Supreme Lord has not yet risen in their principles of religion. So that is Dharma Bhash. And then comes Upadharma. Upadharma, Prabhupada really, really digs into this one, Upadharma. It's next to Dharma. It looks like Dharma, but it's just a bunch of cheaters and cheated. I won't mention names, but he says they have sannyasis, they have temples, they even have deities. The sannyasis are meat eaters. In their temples, the most polluted and abominable activities are going on, and their deities are of ordinary men. So they externally appears like they're doing everything dharmic. They have sannyasis and everything, the temples, everything. But it's just right next to the dharma. It has nothing to do with real dharma. Just cheaters and cheated. And then finally, the real thing of adharma, and that is chala dharma, cheating dharma, the cheating religion. Now, what is this cheating religion? Oh, Prabhupada gives so many examples of it, that the women, they want a good husband, they want a nice child, a son, so they come to the holy dham looking for a nice sadhu to marry, and the cheaters, they know that these women are coming to the holy dham, so they dress up as sadhus and take advantage of these women. So that's the cheaters and the cheated. Then the devotees were walking once on a morning walk, and they saw we see it sometimes, there's a big worm, like an earthworm after the rain. They have to crawl out of the dirt. And the ants, they see this nice juicy worm, and all the ants come, and they're all sucking the juice out of this little worm, and he's trying to escape. He can't escape, wriggling. He's suffering like anything. So the devotees asked Prabhupada, why does this happen? The worm is suffering so much. Prabhupada explained, last lifetime, this worm was their guru. And he cheated them, his disciples, of everything they had. Now this lifetime, they're taking everything from him. So you just read Prabhupada, so many examples of the cheaters and the cheated. Now this is the personification of Adharma in the form of Aristasura. Now he has come to the holiest of holy places. Now how is it that demons are able to enter the spiritual world? Non-different, we all hear it. This is the yoga pit, the spiritual world where Krishna comes down. He performs as many pastimes as he can for our benefit. Why are these demons allowed in to Mathura? Well, a lot of them were previously devotees. They committed some offense, and Krishna, out of his supreme mercy, just to liberate them from that offense, he kills them, and then they go back to their spiritual position. Some of them actually were demons, but we have to remember, from the very beginning of the creation, why did Krishna create us all? He created us all to have a loving relationship with him. There were no demons that Krishna created. We created our own demoniac mentality out of enviousness because we don't want to serve Krishna. And that's how the demons are created. So actually, no one is a demon. Just by bad association, by enviousness, we become demons like the demons we are now. We're trying to become free from our demoniac mentality by good association, by following the instructions of the spiritual master. But millions and millions of lifetimes we've been envious of the Supreme Lord. And so many lifetimes also we've been cheated. Now finally we've come under the guidance and shelter of a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and we have to take advantage of this and not be further cheated. Now, there was a so-called show bottle. His name was Ram Das Vishwas. He was coming from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri. 24 hours a day he would chant the name of Ram. And everyone thought that he was such a great devotee of Ram. They wanted to bring him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, he gave him no recognition, no honor whatsoever. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Lord, he knew that this Ram Das Vishwas was actually inside, internally, a Mayavadi. He wanted to merge with the Supreme Lord. So we have to be especially careful of show bottle chala dharma in our devotional life. We have to see clearly, is this person following the instructions of their spiritual master? Is their spiritual master following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada or their spiritual master? With this, again, mention Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, the testing stone. Are they following the instructions of the Guru? Are they following the instructions of the Shastra? Are they following the instructions of the great devotees? So we have to be very careful and not be tricked by these different types of adharma. Now today, we have 5 minutes. Today is a very auspicious day. It's called Sita Navami. This is the appearance day of Srimati Sita Devi, the eternal consort of Ramachandra. She originally is the daughter of Bhumi Devi. And when it was time for her to take part in the Lord's Leela, Bhumi Devi arranged. She was put into a beautiful golden casket in the earth. And one great Raja Rishi, Janak Maharaj, and his wife, they were performing a yajna. And this yajna, they were plowing the earth. And as they were plowing the earth, the plow hit upon this beautiful casket. And Janak Maharaj picked it up, he opened it up, and inside was a beautiful golden girl. And they were childless. They didn't have any children. So they immediately adopted this young girl. And because when you're plowing, the plow is called Sita, they named the young girl Sita. Later, the wife had another daughter. Her name was Urmila. So these two daughters were brought up together, and they married Ram and Lakshman, respectively. So this is the appearance day when that great yagya took place, and Sita Devi took birth to give pleasure to Lord Ramachandra. Then we have the appearance of Janava Mata. Janava Mata actually was one of the great acharyas in our Gaudiya Vaishnava line. Janava Mata was born in Ambika Kalan. We hear about Ambika Kalan from Goridas Pandit. Goridas Pandit was her uncle. And her father's name was Surya Pandit. Surya Pandit, he was also the accountant of the king of Goradesh. So he was very wealthy, so his other name was Surya Sarkela. Sarkela means that he had a lot of money. So he had two daughters. One of them was named Vasudha, and the other was named Janava. Now you have to be very careful which of the scriptures you read, because everywhere you turn, there'll be another story about Janava's appearance and her activities and how she disappeared. So many stories. In 1594, Janava Mata disappeared here at the Gopinath temple. Some say that that Gopinath came off of the altar and picked her up, brought her, closed the curtain, and she was never seen again. Others say that she merged into the deity of Ananga Manjari. So it just depends, you know, which button you click on your Google, which story you hear. But according to at least the Bhakti Ratnakar and the authorized biographies of the great acharyas, Janava Mata, she was both Ananga Manjari and Revati. And it's explained by Kavi Karnapur that several of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had dual personalities. For instance, Ramananda Roy. He was both Arjuna and Vishakha. So Janava Mata was such an elevated and confidential associate of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. She was the sister of Srimati Radharani, plus she was the eternal wife of Balaram. And Vasudha, she is considered to be Varuni, who was the second wife of Balaram. So they were both married to Nityananda Prabhu. Again, depending on which book you read, all of the different stories, how they were married, when they were married who first, everything. Make it short, they were married to Nityananda Prabhu. Vasudha had 8 sons and 1 daughter by Nityananda Prabhu. But 7 of the sons immediately died after birth. Only one son was born, the last son, the youngest son, Virbhadra, Virchandra. And just after his birth, Vasudha died. So then Janava Mata, being the co-wife, and being the sister, she immediately adopted Ganga Devi, who was the daughter, and Virbhadra. And she took care of them as her own children. Later, Virbhadra took Diksha from Janava Mata, and the Nityananda Vansh has been carrying on since that time. So Janava Mata, she was such a powerful Vaishnavi that we have to understand this day is especially dedicated to powerful women. Sita Devi. Valmiki says that actually the Ramayana that he wrote is the story of Sita Devi. Just as sometimes you hear that Mahabharata is really the story of Draupadi. So the Ramayana is Sita Devi and all the trials and tribulations, her unparalleled love and devotion to Ramachandra. And Janava Devi, similarly, due to her unparalleled love for her eternal husband, Nityananda Prabhu. At the time of his disappearance, she accepted the responsibility to carry on the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And she took part in all the festivals. She came here to Vrindavan. She learned from Rupa Goswami. They welcomed her. She went to the Radha Gopinath Temple. Now we have the third, the disappearance of Madhu Pandit. Madhu Pandit, he was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit was worshipping Gopinath, who now is Tota Gopinath because he sat down. At the disappearance of Gadadhar Pandit, Madhu Pandit came here to Vrindavan and he took shelter of Paramananda Bhattacharya, who was a great devotee of the Lord who was doing bhajan here. It was Paramananda Bhattacharya who discovered the deity of Gopinath that was originally carved under the direction of Vajranava Maharaj, under the description, as per the description, of Parikshit Maharaj's mother, Uttara Devi. In 1670, when Aurangzeb sent his soldiers to desecrate the temples, the deity was taken to Jaipur, and the original deity was discovered by Paramananda Bhattacharya at Bansibat and given to Madhu Pandit, where he worshipped in the Gopinath Temple that's there at Gopinath Bazaar. You can see his samadhi there. You can see the Pratibhu in a new temple that's been built. In the old temple is Mahaprabhu Muralidhar. It's a golden form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu playing a flute, so that those who are not well acquainted with Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy can understand that Mahaprabhu and Muralidhar are non-different. Thank you. Any questions? Hare Krishna. Jai.
Thank you, Manjali. Of course, you mentioned your service to Srila Prabhupada and what it was like to do personal service to the Guru. When Prabhupada was in Mayapur, Brahmananda, he made a decision independently without asking Prabhupada if he should travel this way or that way. And Prabhupada called him into the room, furious. You say Prabhupada punished you. Of course, we know he didn't punish you, he blessed you. There's no such thing as punishment from Prabhupada. But he called Brahmananda in, and unlike with you, see, I never saw Prabhupada raise his voice to his daughters. His sons, all the time. But he couldn't raise his voice to hear his daughter. And of course, he didn't punish you. He made you more concentrated, more attentive in your service, which he would always do that if we were capable. He would dial up that attention. And he called Brahmananda in, and he said, "You don't move a pin from here to here without asking me." So that's what it's like to be with, you know, people say, "Why, this person left." Everybody leaves. We all left because to stay with him was impossible for a length of time. And as you said, the punishment from Krishna was they became a demon. They were devotees. And he came demon and, of course, liberated Goloka Vrindavan, whatever it was. But it was very sweet to hear that and how you described it as a punishment. We were punished because our association was taken away. Service, I'm sure you were busy doing a lot of meditation on Srila Prabhupada for those 2 days and went back and, you know, I was through the same thing a few times, I'm sure. But he would raise his voice to me. Also, not very much, because I was with him. When you're 24 hours a day, how often can he yell at you and have you do anything? So he knew he could crush us like a bug. Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So rarely does one have the opportunity to be chastised personally by the spiritual master. Many people never even get to see their spiritual master, basically. So how did that humility principle of the chastisement of the spiritual master apply to those who don't have their spiritual master? I mean, how do they get chastised? Like, you know, not everyone gets to be in front of the spiritual master personally, so many disciples are here, there, and everywhere preaching, but how are they getting chastised and corrected by the spiritual master?
Well, Prabhupada gave us a chain of command in ISKCON, because not everyone had the opportunity to personally associate with Prabhupada, but Prabhupada had his representatives who he had trained. The original 12 GBC, they were all personally trained by Srila Prabhupada. And those GBC, they had the people working under them, the temple presidents. Eventually there were regional secretaries as the society grew. And this chain of authority, we might have been at the very bottom washing the pots, and the person in charge of the kitchen comes and says, look, you didn't wash the pot properly. You have to look at that. So that chastisement is because this person was taught, then this person. We've all been trained. It's not that you have to write to your spiritual master every single question or get direct instruction. No, he took the trouble to train the pioneer devotees. And then he told Jamuna, if you don't train others to cook, you'll become envious. So she wrote the book. Each one of us, we had our training, and because Prabhupada took the trouble to train us, it's our responsibility to pass that training on. Otherwise, how will the new devotees learn anything? Unless we go on and, yes, Prabhupada taught me this, don't do that, do this, because we learned. And it's becoming, you know, we're old. New devotees are constantly coming. That's why I try to give as many classes as possible, because how am I going to teach? I am, not you. I am. Yeah. How else will we train the young devotees? Because we had that opportunity that they'll never have.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. So, yes, many of our gurus are not around, and unfortunately also, we don't want to accept, many of us, that we're making mistakes, and therefore we'll never learn. And especially in Vrindavan, I just observe many devotees who live outside, not inside the temple. So how can they be corrected if they are doing not according to our founder, Acharya? I would say they'll be chastised by time. They learn their lesson if they commit mistakes, and time will punish them.
Yes. There's no other way. We're seeing that. Looking for, because I don't like to go into Google and all that stuff. But sometimes, you know, it's late at night. You have to the special day. I came across a disciple of Prabhupada who had taken a whole chunk of the society away with him, and he fell down, which is inevitable. Because when you don't follow Prabhupada's instructions, you're doomed to fall down. And now all of his disciples are making public all of the atrocities that were committed, all the offenses that were, you know. You have to be so careful in spiritual life. You can't transgress. It's a razor's edge, Prabhupada called it. And we have to follow Prabhupada's instructions very carefully. And if we do deviate, well, we're going to get cut. That's what happens.
Okay.
It's polluted now in the sense that the Smarta Brahmins, the Jati Gosais, these are considered to be upper sampradayas by Bhaktivinoda Thakur because they want to monopolize the guruship of all the Vaishnavas. They say only if you're born in the Nityananda Vansh are you allowed to accept disciples. And that's not mentioned anywhere by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, those who say such things, they're considered to be upa sampradaya.
Those, this Ramachandra and Gopijana Vallabha, those who are considered the descendant, some say they are just, they were his servants. And they were like the pujaris of his deity and their descendants are, I don't know.
Here in Vrindavan, the Goswami temples, they were Goswamis. They didn't have children. But their disciples, now they have taken possession of the temples. And they say only those who, in their seminal, heritage, are they able to take charge of the temples. So this is, it's demoniac. That's why Sukracharya, the guru of the demons, that's why he's called Sukracharya, because it's by seminal disciplic succession, not by realization, guru, shastra, sadhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai.
Swami would be the best one to pray because he was doing, anyway, I'll find it for you.